In an unlikely connection, this week we heard of the untimely and unfortunate death of Fat Man Scoop. What some of you might not know is that he remixed one of his songs for Wimbledon. So this episode is dedicated to him.
Yo, what's up? This is Fat Man Scoop. I'm here in the stadium holding it down with the Dons, baby. AFC Wimbledon. Fat Man Scoop, Wimbledon. Fat Man Scoop, Wimbledon. Fat Man Scoop, Wimbledon. AFC Wimbledon, win number one. Get ready to take them on, baby. Let's go. AFC Wimbledon. AFC Wimbledon. AFC Wimbledon. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go.
In this week, in 1986, a Dennis Wise goal against Charlton put the Dons top of League One, now affectionately known as the Premier League. Yes, that's right. We topped the whole league table back in 1986. That was then. This is now. We're the same old Wombles. We're back.
Might not be life or death, my friend, but to me,
in this week's show, we're going to obviously look back on Ipswich. Adam's got some things he needs to get off his chest. We'll chat about the Fleetwood game. Look forward to Newcastle. I celebrate the AFC Wimbledon women's team. And then we'll get on to some admin bits, which I know you guys all love. We'll talk about fair game. And we'll talk about the EGMs and SGMs coming up as well. And also, at this point, I just want to give a big shout out to our 13 followers on Threads. Yes, we are the only place on Threads where you can get your AFC Wimbledon news, the AFC Wimbledon official team on Threads. None of the other podcasts are on Threads. So if you're on Threads, you know, this is where you can get your AFC Wimbledon news. And we're really grateful to our 13 Thread followers and all of our ex-followers as well. Move over, guys. Anyhow, today I'm joined by Adam Proctor and mon frère, Niall Cooper. Me and Niall have just come back from a week in France. So sorry we couldn't get the pod out last week. But Niall, we're all back fresh and ready to go, aren't we? Looking forward to the weeks ahead.
Buzzing, Matty. Buzzing. Ready for it, Matt.
Awesome. Adam, how you doing, mate? You were there for the Ipswich game.
Yeah, that was great. I loved it. It was really, really, really good. Yeah.
I've got to say, Adam, our experience of it was hilarious. So, you know, we were in our apartment, just both of us on, like, the Beeb, Twitter, you know, getting WhatsApp updates as well. It wasn't the most relaxing night, was it, way to enjoy the game? And then, you know, to refresh.
Why night? What I liked was the update that was, I can't remember which one of the excellent people that the same old Wombles followed that said this was the this game was one where Wimbledon beat a Premier League team, the goalie made a hash in the last minute, and the number four missed a penalty, and that was the game. And actually, they were referring to the victory in the League Cup over Liverpool when Hans Seegers dropped the ball at the last minute, and Vinny Jones, I believe, missed the penalty, and the winning penalty was scored by an academy product. In that case, it was Neil Ardley, obviously, Oggs this time around. So that was the game, and I remember that game. So, Adam, when you do your summary of the Ipswich game, I will just be thinking back to that game on a bleak night when we won on penalties and against Liverpool. And I have to say, I went to that game with a broken foot, so my foot was in caster, but I remember it vividly. So, throughout all of those, for those of you who weren't there at the Ipswich game, just cast your mind back to when we beat Liverpool on penalties, because it's very similar. I don't know if the aeroplane celebration at the end, but that was the bit that was obviously missing. But and then, I remember it very well.
Yeah, I remember it well. I mean, because people have said about Seegers being a bit dodgy, but I don't think he was dodgy there. He went out to punch it, and it just glanced off his glove, didn't it, and flew in. But in that game, I remember John Barnes missed a penalty beforehand in the game itself, which probably could have given them the result, and then it went through to pens. That was an amazing game. See, listener, this is where we're at, man. We're living in the 80s and 90s.
That's totally it. So you said I also remember Dennis Wise scoring that goal at the Valley. So there you go. Yeah. That's where we're at.
Yeah,
The
exactly.
important things rather than, like the here and now.
That's right,
Obviously,
man.
which is
We live
important. I'm going to
for the
now
past.
drop myself down, my head down, and go like, "I'm sorry, listener. Me and Matt weren't there. We were sunning up in France, and all we could
Yeah.
do is reminisce. So
Yeah,
sorry.
and
I'll
that's
take it
right.
back and let my beloved brother lead back onto the podcast and the agenda."
Yeah, well, no, anyhow, we're sorry we didn't do last week. We were planning to do it. We had to send a message to Adam, who understood us, said, "Mate, we can't do it. We're too busy sunning ourselves." But Adam, over to you, pal. Come on, what was it like? Relive that Ipswich game for us.
Yeah, I'll give you the story because it obviously leads up to my moaning as well, because it's all connected. So I got the cheapest like off-peak tickets. Mark had asked if I'd come and help sell programs, which I've managed to do a few times, which is really nice. And I do enjoy it, actually. It's good fun. You can have a bit, I tend to, well, I think it's fun, I banter the queue and all that kind of stuff, and I think Mark just thinks I'm an idiot. But so I got there a bit early, which is great. Oh, that was it. Yeah, my train was delayed, obviously. So then, of
Obviously,
course.
this is the Reggie Perry moment, everyone. This is the Reggie Perry moment. Every week is delayed.
So I
It's
was like,
true.
"Oh, sugar, I'm gonna." So I was texting Mark saying, "Look, I'm gonna get there as soon as I can. I'm just gonna come straight to the thing." I said, "But I think I'm gonna need to use the toilet on the way." And so he's then like, he phones me. He's like, "Look left. I'm in the bus." And I'm like, "What are you doing on the bus?" So I'm walking from Elsfield. He's on the bus. I still basically got to the ground at the same time as him, even though I had a pit stop at the Leather Bottle to use the toilet. And so we were selling programs, which is great. And one of the, obviously, a couple of things then is you end up going in really late, so right near the start of kickoff. And because of that, everyone's using the paper tickets and the QR codes because of it being a cup game. So there was quite a lot of people queuing. And they had obviously good
Yeah.
security on. A lot of the Ipswich fans had come to the wrong end, I think, originally, and were being redirected by us at various points early on. Even I'd
Just
forgot.
to go home.
It was, yeah, exactly. Even I'd forgot. Even the thing is, even I'd forgotten about the fact that it was a cup game, and I just had in my mind that it had upgraded my season ticket. So I'm in the queue of my ticket, and the guy's like, "You know this isn't a league game." I'm like, "Yeah, it's a cup game. I've paid for the ticket." And he's like, "Can you use that?" I'm like, "Yeah, it gets upgraded, doesn't it?" And he's like, "I don't think so." And of course, it hadn't. So then I had to log into the thing, find the QR code, and it started to claim that I'd already claimed it. Anyway, I got in. Because you're not allowed to have beers while selling programs, I was like, "I'm just going to get a beer." Because also, I'm like, "We're going to lose to Ipswich anyway. I've had a great time already. That's not going to matter if I miss kickoff. I don't like missing any minutes of football, but I want a drink." So I went down to the pub, the Phoenix. Quiet as anything, had a great chat with the guy behind the bar, gave me a beer. Obviously, I'm then the because it's on TV, I look up at the TV and it's like, "Oh, okay, Al Hamady's already scored." So I was like, "Great." So yeah, I made my way to my seat thinking, "Well, it's cool. I've had a nice time." And one of the perks of selling the program, obviously, is you get free concession food at the game, which is great. So before we get to the concession food bit, the game was great. It was just full on. Like, it was really exciting. Like, they had loads of possession, but we looked like we were defending reasonably well enough. It just was exciting generally throughout the game. I guess it was a bit of a blur because I wasn't expecting us to win anything. I kind of suddenly was like, "Oh, does it go straight to penalties?" Of course it does. Goodman obviously like manhandling the ball before that goal was all a bit stressful, but then obviously massively redeemed himself with the saves. Reeves obviously missing the penalty was kind of insane. You weren't expecting that. Yeah, it was just it was a it, they had tons of the game and they were really good, but they never they we managed to sort of keep them at bay. Yeah, I think we could have won in open play, but to win in penalties was great fun. So that was, yeah, it was a good, and it also, that was the other thing. It was really busy, like, and really noisy, and everyone sat around me. I didn't really recognize anyone. It was all new people. And I couldn't quite work out whether they'd moved seats or not, but it literally was none of the people that sit around us normally. So it's clearly, it was loads of new people. So it was really buzzing. So for anyone who came onto that game as a new or an interested or a neutral, or someone who just lives near South London, they would have loved it because it was packed. And of course, it turned out it was our biggest midweek attendance ever at Plough Lane and a Caribou Cup record, which is insane. So no wonder it was buzzing. It was good.
It was exciting. It was exciting to, and obviously, you know, the day after when it all come up, we had this, where we were staying at this big TV, so we were able to watch the extended highlights several times and take it all in. I'm so pleased for Oggs as well. It was just what a great penalty to win it. That was brilliant, and great for Goodman as well to redeem himself. He'll learn from that. I mean, I think a lot of us have to remember he's 20, so he's, you know, and it might be, hopefully he improves this season with us. He'll probably go somewhere else the following season and, you know, make those steps up again. But it was really, what I felt was quite fun afterwards is, well, not fun, but like, yet again, this, we always seem to get ourselves embroiled in something. And that whole Al Hamady thing, when he scored, there were people clapping, you know, and singing his name. And it's divided the fans. Personally, I'm like, whatever rocks your boat. But if you see it afterwards, after he scores, he goes up with his hands sort of like raised, like, I'm not celebrating. And he goes towards that section, almost like pointing, like, you know, almost to say thank you to the Wimbledon fans, and thank you for, you know, it felt like he was almost thanking us for giving him this opportunity. So I felt that's what the fans were responding to. And if you are the other part of the ground, you're not seeing that, but he almost looking at directly at the fans. So I can understand why people in that section applauded and said his name, because it felt like he was saying thank you to us, because we never got to say a goodbye, did we, when he left? So it felt like that was his moment. But it's really kind of like people have got really sort of pissed off on it. But I think when you're there, you're going to get wrapped up in that bit. So it's interesting. I don't know what I'd have done if he would have come in towards me in that situation. But it generally looked like he was imploring those people in that section to sort of like just to say something. I don't think anywhere else in the ground saw that. So it might have been different if he'd gone to a different section. People in that section might have reacted that way. But it's interesting. Yet again, we're kind of like trying to tear ourselves apart. But it's like, in the grand scheme of things, it just does not matter at all, mainly because it was beautiful and we won.
Yeah, no, true. I mean,
I don't know what your thoughts on it. Adam, what are your thoughts on it being there?
Well, I missed that. I was downstairs, so I missed that. I think based on what I saw, because I could see the TV on TV live, the way that he didn't celebrate was, I don't think I would have clapped. I don't think I would have sung. I wouldn't have booed. I probably would have just done, you know, probably not done anything, you know. But I think it was a respectful way of taking that goal, you know. But he didn't play that great after that moment, so that was good for us.
Exactly. That was the kind of response I was looking for him, really, just like to have an off game. I was hoping he was going to score the own goal that sent us through, but, you know, you can't have everything. I don't know,
Niall,
I don't know if you had any thoughts on that,
Al Hamady
thing.
I totally flip between it just by hearing people's arguments.
Yeah.
I suspect I might have clapped because of the respect I have for Al Hamady and his kind of tone and language since. And that probably comes through from more having spoken to ex-players loads of times in the past, so you kind of know the ones that get us and the ones that don't. So there's certainly other players that I would definitely not clap that have worn the sacred yellow and blue and done things like that. But I think I probably might have clapped Al Hamady.
Yeah. So this, I think there's, just comes there's a back to... coming, there's a player coming in a couple of weeks, I don't think I'm going to clap.
What?
There's a player coming back to us in a couple of weeks, so I definitely will not be clapping.
Yeah, but that involves a game that I definitely won't be clapping.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, I think he might get an awful lot of boos, that particular player.
Yeah.
But that's for next week's pod, I think. So yeah, we might talk about that a little bit longer.
Already, I'm not looking forward to that. Adam, so listen, mate, we've won the game. It's brilliant. But you've got, is there anything else you need to tell us? I mean, what happened, man? What happened to you? Because I know you were happy, but you were an angry man as well. Like, you were happy, but angry. What's gone on?
Well,
what happened?
At halftime, obviously, we weren't winning. So, but it was looking really good, right? And yeah. I had my voucher for the free food at the concession stand, which is the bit inside the Kappa stand at the top.
So not the decent food.
No.
In the street, not the street food, but like inside. Yeah.
Yeah, which is Eleanor or whatever the name of the company is.
We shall call them Eleanor from now on. They're not, they're Elior, but for Eleanor.
Eleanor. So let's call them the girls' names exist, but Eleanor it is.
So obviously, right. The thing is,
so
I've been
Eleanor food.
But I've been there before and I've not had a good time, right? But I've got a free food. I've had a.
Well, you've been with Eleanor before and you've not had a good time with Eleanor. You don't like Eleanor.
But I got a free. But I got a free.
What was she mentioned in the Beatles song? I mean, that's got to be one kind of like little bit. Seriously. It's all right.
I've got a free voucher, right?
Sound?
I'm in the queue, and I was telling another friend of mine, and I'm like thinking, what's the vegan options, right? And I'm looking at the voucher, and I'm trying to decipher whether the voucher is going to give me any of the vegan options. And of course, the vegan option is, I think, like a crumb, like a horrible burger that's like a bean burger or something. Or they have what I have had before, which is the vegan rainbow roll, which is like a fancy sausage roll. So I'm like, but it says on the concession thing, like 1x pie, 1x crisps, you know, one soft drink or whatever. So I'm mainly focusing on looking at the menu, looking at the ticket I've got to see, am I going to be able to actually use this here? While thinking, why am I queuing here? Because we're queuing for ages, right? So the queue's long again, which I've complained about that before, they've been really slow and I don't know why. And one of the seasons of the podcast, I emailed the managing director at the time and said, why are they so slow? There was loads of people behind the thing and they all had different roles and there weren't that many people serving. So anyway, so I'm queuing and queuing and queuing. And I'm kind of, then I look up and it's like, I can't see any food. Like, I can see like a bag of plain crisps. I'm like, well, I can eat those because they're not cheese and onion. And I'm like, where's all the food? And I'm kind of looking around. I don't see anyone leaving with food. So I'm like, what? Okay, this is ridiculous. And then I see Mark, who's carrying a bag of crisps. And I'm like, Mark, is there any food? He's like, no. And he's like, off. Apparently he took the last bag of crisps somehow. And he was on the other queue. So obviously with queue, I get to the front of the queue. And I say, what? I've got a voucher because I've been volunteering for the club. Where's the food? And the lady's like, well, there isn't any. I'm like, what do you mean there isn't any? We're like packed out. This is a cup game. What's happened? And didn't really give me any reason. I said, well, this isn't really acceptable. I said, come on, you know, we should be doing much better than this. I just don't understand why there isn't any food. And she wouldn't give me an answer. I'm getting a bit more annoyed. Some guy in the queue says, well, it's not her fault. And I'm like, no, I know it's not her fault. But I would like to know why there's no food. And from what I could tell, there was no food at all. And there was no answer. So I just kind of was like, well, I said, I got a free voucher. I'll just take a drink on that then, please, you know. Because obviously I hadn't really eaten because I'd come straight from work and that kind of stuff as well. And they sold out of beer. So I could only have a cheap, not even a nice cider. So I was just like, fine. And of course, by that time, kickoff had started as well. So I missed a bit more of the second half, which was a bit, you know, again, should have been a bit more excited. But obviously I was annoyed. Another guy was having a go at me because I was complaining. I don't think I was unreasonable in my complaint, but I just didn't believe that a member, someone serving, couldn't give a legitimate reason as to what had happened. Even to say, we've had a massive stock issue. I'm really sorry there was no food. We should have made it clear so that you didn't queue, you know, or whatever, you know, or...
Yeah, like signs up by the kiosk even.
Yeah, or just say, we run out. Yeah. We did have food, but it's bit, as you can see, it's really busy. I'm really sorry we run out. Keep your voucher for the next game or I don't know what, you know. I mean, I worked a long, long time ago. I worked in customer service. So I kind of feel there's ways you can de-escalate this stuff quite quickly. And just shrugging your shoulders and going, well, I don't know, you know, doesn't really kind of help the customer, especially when I'm like just seeing this as losing money. That's all I can see is I'm like, we're stressing about bonds and debts and blah, blah, blah. And we can't serve burgers and pies at half time to probably loads of new fans, etc. You know, I think
I mean,
It, this
I think
is
I don't
this
think
is
we're
Athens.
losing money because that they're paying. I think they probably pay. There's a contract that they have,
So
but.
I was going to say the problem is in this one, from my recollection of having been on the board, is Eleanor. So basically, we need to get a new
And that's
girlfriend
it.
in to sort
I
out.
think the
Eleanor
understanding
needs to,
is.
and that's the problem. It's always been the issue with that contract. And I'm fully aware that's been under debate for a while. I don't know. I mean, we haven't got Mark or other people from the board on to discuss that, but that is, I think, one of the big problems. And that needs to be addressed because, when we look at the catering, that should be a real obvious in-house thing where we actually can make significant money from that. Because it's the same deal with the upper floors. I mean, when. Look, Fair Game went and hired out some upper floor space, and we were being charged a ridiculous amount of money for per napkin and stuff like that. So it's just like, or per plate, and it's just, that needs to be looked at. But that's one of the issues. So, I'm not sure there's much that James. I mean, I'll stop because I know you've got a response from James Woodruff. So that's a bit more of your story, Adam. So.
Yeah, and also a nice add to that. My understanding is that it's a it's a it's that contract has been a problem, and it was a long is a long term contract, which I don't know when it's coming up to renewal. But my sense is that Eleanor at that point will be dumped. I mean, I've just not heard good things. And to be honest, if I'm getting food in the ground, I'm getting food in the street bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. I'm not. I mean, like I said, every time I've been to the concession thing, it's got me upset because it hasn't functioned as I expected. It's too long. It's too slow. Even if they do have the food, you're stressing about trying to eat or whatever to get back to your seat. So it's never functioned. And I did just go because I was like, oh, I get a free pie. I should have just gone downstairs and given the voucher to someone else in the queue and said, enjoy yourself or whatever. But yeah, so I was annoyed. I mean, I got a bit up. It was it didn't taint the game because the second half was fantastic. But obviously I decided because last time I'd had issues with that, I was like, okay, who am I? I need to email someone because this is really. I don't mean even if they've got a deal where they're not losing the club aren't losing specific money because the sales deal is sorted. Anyone that came who's a neutral or a
I
first
suppose.
time fan is going to think service isn't that good. Whereas we know that it's a really good experience. So I emailed James Woodruff and just said, look, I was volunteering on the thing. I've had issues with the concessions before, but I got my free ticket, went to the score and I said there was no food. Now, I think we've said on the podcast before that, we've not seen James around that much. We don't feel he's been as visible as previous managing directors. And so, but I was encouraged to email him, so I did. And my test was like, let's see if I get a reply. Because when I emailed the previous MD, I got a reply, straight away. And I thought, well, that's going to be my measure, which is a little bit cheeky because I'm literally on the train home from the game we've won, sending an email randomly. And I think I put on the bottom same old Wombles podcast team. But I think I spelt Wombles wrong and it came out Wombled team. Anyway, so I thought maybe that'll give us some clout, We're podcasters. I'm going to say that I'm emailing, And he replied the early the following morning, like first thing in the morning. Straight
And
away.
you're right to mention that you're the same old Wombles podcast because we have that influence. We have that power. This is what happens, Adam.
Exactly.
You mentioned,
Just because that
yeah,
was on the
perfect.
signature.
It's got back to us straight away. What did he
That's
say?
because we are the number one podcast, AFC Women podcast on Threads.
Yeah,
Yeah, that must be it.
exactly.
No, so
that's it. That's the influence that we have.
So what did he say, Adam? What was the response?
He sent me an email saying, I'm really sorry to learn this, Adam. I've emailed our catering partner, but that won't be any consolation to you. I will try to ensure there are appropriate levels of food in the future. Thanks for volunteering. Hopefully, I'll see you Saturday. Sorry again. So, a short reply.
Okay, well, that's all. That sorry's nice. Did you not get? Do you not get a? another complimentary thing? Didn't you get something else? Like another?
No, that was that.
As someone who's volunteering, do you not get another concession thing?
No.
Whoa! Hold your horses, man. I would have thought that would be the least they could. Wait, there's something going on here, mate.
Exactly. It's a conspiracy.
Listener, this is what's happening. Put the pressure on, people. Adam Neal.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So all our 13 followers on Threads, we want you to, yeah. I would say at the club, but they're not on Threads.
Yeah.
So, you know, which is a letdown. Yeah. So until they're on Threads, you might just have to.
Well, I did reply and say, thanks so much for the quick reply. I said, I'll be coming on Saturday with three sort of non-Wimbledon fans and we'll be using the food trucks.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, let's tie up this Ipswich game. So a brilliant win. Adam's had some issues. There's been the whole Al Hamidi debate, but to be honest with you, it's fantastic. And the draw for the next round was brilliant. We are at home to Newcastle, and you'll hear it on this pod first, because it's just been announced that the game is going to be on Tuesday, the 24th of September. I think they're just sorting out the ticket details. But for me, that's a huge relief because I thought it was going to be the 17th of September, which is my wedding anniversary. So I'm dead pleased it's the 24th. So that's absolutely fantastic. But now for you, does it work? Because
Amelia is supposed to be going to university that weekend before. So she will be no longer in London, which is a big, big deal for me emotionally, obviously, big deal. And obviously, for those of you who know, Amelia has been was a long-term season ticket holder, follows us on all the kind of social channels, like big up. So she won't be there. I was hoping that her last Wimbledon game before she went to university would have been the Newcastle Cup game. And now she's scrambling around for a ticket for that other game that we will talk about next week.
Yeah. So anyhow,
I hate the idea of going to, but that's next week's pod. But like Newcastle, I think it's a brilliant, brilliant draw. I'm really looking forward to it. I don't know whether we know whether on telly or not. I'm assuming with a Tuesday 7:45 kickoff, almost certainly not. But I think it'd be brilliant. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. I think it'd be an absolutely cracking atmosphere. It would just be packed out because we know that the Geordies Toonami will bring huge following. So that will be amazing. So I'm looking forward to that. I was thinking of going hospitality. Anyhow, that's by the by. So, but
that's for our listener. That's because my brother's posh, innit?
Yeah, but he has aspirations. He lives by delusions of grandeur.
No, but I'm thinking if I moan enough, that maybe at some point the MD will suggest that we should have hospitality.
You should totally get that.
But then I'll see that. Adam, if you get hospitality, I'll just serve you a meat pie with meat gravy, only give you stale lager.
Yeah,
that'll be it. That's hospitality, Adam. There you go, mate.
Yeah.
So obviously, that's been brilliant. And then, you know, there was that sort of like after the Lord Mayor's show thing, we're all worried about because on this Saturday just gone, we've got Fleetwood. Fleetwood unbeaten in the league up until that point, and. You know, my understanding it wasn't the greatest game, but we took our chances. Great goal by Neuville, fantastic strike from the edge of the box. That was brilliant, and I think Matty Stevens could have ran it up, could have got second, one on one with the keeper, and I think he'll be practicing that a lot in these coming weeks. But Adam, you were there, so I guess my first question is: how are the trucks? Were the food trucks good?
Yeah,
good food.
Food trucks were good, obviously. Train was good. Yeah, everyone that day was good. Other than the game was like, yeah, a little bit slow, yeah. And we had to grind out, you know. But I think it was well played. Great goal, like you said, by Neville. Yeah, the one-on-one with the goalie should have scored. But we did. Yeah, it was a bit of a dull game, bit of a grey day. But it was just nice to kind of just. It was one of those ones where you're like, normally we'd screw it up in like previous season. Yeah. That would be like, you know, you'd be biting your nails for the whole of the. But actually, we were all right. And I was pleased that we just kept, we didn't concede. We kept a clean sheet. We finished the game. You know, that's job done. That's the kind of thing you want to, those kind of games you want to grind out. The funny thing about that, the only funny thing about that game was the Fleetwood fans, they were, there wasn't many of them, and they were all stuck in the corner at the end of the home, at the end of the Kappa stand. They weren't, for whatever reason, they didn't put them behind the goal. So it was really weird because it was just a handful of them, but they were like in probably the worst bit to sit. And I was like, we could have moved them behind the goal. That would have been nicer, wouldn't it?
I think there was 150 of them is what I understand. I guess it's just where it is. And then because we moved our fans a bit over, so we're behind both goals.
It was weird though, but they could have put them right behind their goal.
Hey, Adam, I don't know. I mean, there's got to be some... Probably that's some sort
no,
of...
No, it's probably good because it like meant they, yeah, less...
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it, but it's great. So now what are we, 6 from 7? So that's three... Oh, no, is it more than that? 7 from 8. So it's we've got...
It's 6 from 7. 6 from 7. Three cup wins, three league wins.
Yeah. Three cup wins. We've beaten... Bromley and
two Ipswich. League Cup, one trophy game.
Yeah, and then three other anyhow, 6 from 7. So it's been an amazing start. It's been one of our better starts. I mean, I'm not sure how it compares to other times. I'm not going to get carried away with it, and we all know what's coming up in a couple of weeks' time because we were meant to be playing Tranmere this coming weekend. That game's been called off because we've got three internationals now, and then sometimes I wonder. If we're looking around for players to join us, we're going, yeah, if we get that guy in, then we've got three international call-ups and we can get a game postponed. We haven't got a game coming up this coming up Saturday. The Tranmere game is going to be rearranged. We have to wait a couple of weeks. And then it's going to be an exciting roller coaster for the rest of September. But... So that's not all the football stuff. The other thing is to say, and many congratulations to the AFC Wimbledon women's team. They've started on a roll again, won 3-0 away at Cheltenham, two goals from Ashley Hinks, our new club captain. She's amazing. And there's a great article on her on the official site, so go and check that out as well. But well done to the women's team. That is brilliant. And we are going to keep promising to watch a game at Plough Lane. And we will do it. We will do it this season. That is our promise. We will go and watch the women's team because they are fantastic. Now, on to some other bits of news. And I know time is against us here, so I'll race through this. But now, quickly, Fair Game are at Parliament tomorrow. Is that right?
Yeah, we're at Parliament. So, big parliamentary reception where we will be looking at showcasing what our kind of demands on a new football governance bill. Which the number one is a fairer financial flow for football, which means more money for lower league clubs. We have got confirmed around 60 parliamentarians, so that's MPs and peers. So that's quite a big group of MPs, including the sports minister, lots of previous sports ministers, the lead, this House of Lords speaker on football, on sport, loads of really key influential people in the room, which is a very big deal. And for Wimbledon fans, you'll be pleased to know that Michelle Little from the PLC and James Longhurst from the board are both going to be in the room as well, which is really cool. So that is really promising. Now they just basically need to network like crazy with the politicians and work the room and hopefully persuade the MPs to back Fair Games proposals, which if it happens, we become richer. Simple as that. So that's basically what they've got to do. So if the PLC are serious about getting more money, then Michelle Little and James Longhurst, work that room, guys. Yeah. Work that room.
So it is fantastic. So this is amendments to the existing governance bill that Fair Game have put forward. Hopefully they'll get approved by the MPs, and that, like you say, that will give us an extra load of dosh.
Yeah, it's a tiny, I mean, it's a new bill. So these are that's how Parliament works. But we've said, if you're going to reintroduce the bill, these are the bits that need to be improved on the next iteration. So the people who are writing the bill are also in the room. So it's a really big moment for the whole future of AFC Wimbledon, if I'm being really honest about it. The other thing that's in there is also a bit that we're saying that if you're moving a club, you can't do so without the approval of the fan base by official recognised bodies. So
Unless there's one
basically
particular club,
banning the Milton
then
Keynes clause.
if there's one
Sorry, I
club, they
mentioned the
can just
word.
move wherever they want to. But we will focus more on this next week because we've got a game, so we're going to chat back. And Niall, you can give us your reflections on that. Would be awesome next week.
Yeah, no problem.
And also, I think next week we'll talk more about this. But obviously, there are SGMs all over the place coming up in the next couple of weeks. But Adam, they are not both SGMs now, because there's something on the 16th of September and another one on the 23rd. So the one on the 16th.
Yeah, I mean, the most important people, I think, yeah, the most important thing people need to know is that the 16th is the SGM, so special general meeting or extra general meeting that's been called by the members. That is where we get to vote on a number of member proposals to changes to the constitution and the way certain things are done. So that's the one that's important. So you can vote in person, and we've just been told that we've now got the bigger space. So that means that more people can attend, because there was a bit of a concern that we'd only had the smaller space. So I'm now probably going to try and attend, whereas originally I was going to attend. Then when they said it's a small room, I thought, oh, it's not, no point in me coming all that way in case I can't get in. Now it's a bigger space, so that's really good. And that will just focus on the members' proposals, yeah, the
Resolutions.
resolutions that they've called, which is great. So that's the one where you need to vote in person or online or via proxy. And from what I understand recently as well, is that you can vote via proxy, which can be either via the chairman of the Don's Trust board, or you can nominate another member to vote as your proxy. That's what I read on the pro. So we can talk a bit more about that, but that obviously means that you can get someone who's going to, go with your position. And then the one on the then, but they're still keeping the meeting on the 23rd of September, which is not anything. It's just a general open meeting to discuss anything you want with the Don's Trust board. There's no agenda. It's just a general open meeting. So it's not an AGM. It's not an SGM. It's not an EGM. It's just a regular meeting. I think they've just kept that probably because, it was in the calendar already, and originally they were trying to meld the two, but.
I'm assuming there might be some fallout from this meeting anyhow, so it's probably used to sort of like sweep some stuff up from the
Yeah,
sort of the
definitely.
16th.
Yeah, I think definitely. But the 16th's got that focus. That's the thing that the members are really keen on. That, I signed the thing as well to have those things proposed. I haven't decided how I'm going to vote for each of the proposals yet. But the important thing is that that meeting will focus just on those things. So it means there's an opportunity just to discuss in detail and have the agenda led by the members, which is different to when the Don's Trust board call an SGM, because they can dictate more of the agenda. So I think that's actually been really good, because it's, again, for those members who are keen on these proposals, they want to make sure they have the full amount of time to discuss and not get pushed aside by any other agenda items. So that's really, really good. I think the board have done the right thing.
I think it's a really pleasing thing. I think it's a really pleasing thing. I think it's very good that they're done. So just to remind you that there are five resolutions. And if you're a DTB member, assuming most of you are, dear listener, then you'll have got an email, which will sort of like from the Don's Trust Board explaining it. I'm assuming that also this information is on the Don's Trust website as well. It feels to me like there are three of them is some more to do with wording, and I think the board have said that they would like to clarify some of the wording, and then there are a couple of them, and we might go into this more next week as well, which the DTB is sort of like I'll recommend it against. So there's a couple of things which seem to be an issue. One which is about whether votes are cast on a simple majority rather than having a 75% majority. And another one which is about the Don's Trust Board giving recommendations or not. And I just want to touch on this one very briefly, because I kind of get this why the DTB give recommendations. I kind of get it, I'm thinking through whether I agree with it or not, but I get it, which is that we elect the DTB, we elect the board, but, and they kind of like speak on our behalf, much like it is with politicians, and those, and we trust those politicians or those DTB to represent our voices wherever they are. So they will have much more of a knowledge and understanding about the issues which are confronting them. So they will have an understanding and know what all the ins and outs are, and so they can then give a recommendation to members, because members, I think a lot of people are not going to have the time or inclination to delve deep into the issue. So they will want a steer from the board about which way to vote, because sometimes people just aren't gonna do that, and so they're not going to take the time to go into the complexities of a particular situation. There are some issues.
I've
There are
got
some
real
issues. One
issues.
second. There's some issues where I feel that that maybe we shouldn't be given a steer from the DTB. So the, and I think the one thing we're going to talk about time and time again, and certainly as it comes up to it, is the 50.01%. And it's whether the DTB give a steer or not on that, because I think that is incredibly contentious. And I would suggest, because it's such a big thing, that we will do our utmost here on this podcast to explain it thoroughly for you, so you have as much information as possible. We will try and get some people in to talk about that. But you must do your research as well. You do your own bit of research to find out whether you think it's a good thing or a bad thing. Now, obviously, we're going to have our opinion, which is probably don't go down that route. But we want to give you as much information as possible, so you've got the complete understanding of why one way or another would or would not work. But there are certain things where, changes to wording on the resolutions or whatever in the DTB go, we recommend this way. And I think a lot of people are going to go, well, I okay, fine. Do you know what I mean? But there are some things which are going to be bigger issues which maybe the DTB don't give their advice on. Sorry, no, you were going to jump in with something, mate.
Yeah, I mean, we're about to run out of time. So, just one very quick point on that. Having been on the DTB and having seen recommendations put forward for which were narrowly voted on, so like 5-4, I certainly remember a couple of recommendations where I was part of the four on a recommendation. Those are the ones that I think you either don't put a recommendation forward or you put on that by a vote of 5-4. The Dons Plus board recommended it so that people know that one's a bit more contentious. So therefore kind of encouraging you to take a bit more of a thought process. And maybe even on those ones, perhaps there's a bit where you kind of go, well, actually, the proxy vote doesn't go to the chair, because I find that just being a bit too much power in the hands of the default to the chair. And that's what concerns me. So when it's close, if there's a way of making sure the chair doesn't have that proxy power, I think I'd be in favour of something like that. Of course, that would involve a two-third majority vote for that, but whatever. That's where I'm at. I think having that transparency, I think if it's 9-0, then again, that should be said, because it's like if it's a 9-0 vote, then you're kind of going, well, obviously we should vote for this because that's who we elected. But if it's 5-4,
Do you know what? I think maybe that maybe the same old Wombers are going to put a resolution in to the DCB, which is to say that it should be that the DTB recommend this 5-4, or the DTB recommend this 9-0, whatever it is. Do you know what I mean? So we know what it is, so we can see that you don't have to name names
it will come out in a minute eventually anyway,
it would come
so
out in a
we might
minute.
as well make it clear on the paper.
Yeah, so we, the Don's Trust recommend we do this in five four or whatever it is, so that you're right, Niall. So that if it's a bit contentious, then people can take a thought. So I think that feels like the way forwards for it. So that listener, that is our resolution we're putting forwards right now. So it's at the end of it where they go, the DTB recommend this 5-4 or whatever it is. Let's put it in football school headlines.
And I think because we haven't got any football next week, we can go through the resolutions, have our discussion about what we think about of them in advance of that meeting, encourage people to go do those kind of things. And I think, yeah, if we're going to do a resolution, it does feel like we've just come up with one, which I think I also agree would be excellent, because that I'm happy for the Don's Trust board to give recommendation. But yeah, tell me, because I have read some of the minutes, like Noel said, where I'm like, oh, some of the board are against these things.
Yeah.
You know, and so then I would like to know the difference, you know, for sure.
That's it, people. If when it comes to the minutes, Adam knows his stuff. He's been our detective for this whole thing. He's over the summer, he's been bang on it. Unfortunately, he goes back to work now, so I'm not sure how much more time he's going to have to be able to do that digging for us. But Adam, thank you so much. That's it, guys, for this week. We've had a bit of a look. Like I say, next week we'll have a proper delve into the DTB and its resolutions and what's going next. And I can feedback on the fair game stuff. Until then, thank you very much, Adam. Thank you very much, Niall. We're the same old Wombles. We'll be back.
Might not be life or death, my friend, but.